Blog Talk Radio. out thunderstruck. Man, I'm telling you, I feel thunderstruck today or heat struck, one of the two. It has been kicking my butt. This heat is going crazy. Welcome to the show tonight. This is Chris Chadwick for Let's Talk Smoke. We're ready to rock and roll, have a big time tonight, have a great show. We've got Pitmasters calling in shortly. As always, we're talking barbecue, anything, everything. That's what it is. We're talking barbecue. What we love to do, we always love to sit back, talk a little Q with our friends all over the country. Nothing better than that, I'm telling you. You know, we've just got it that way. We love to cook it. We love to eat it. We love to talk it. We love to think about it. We want to think about when we're cooking it next. I'm telling you, constantly, barbecue is on the brain. And we just constantly let the smoke roll right here. We cooked this morning. We cooked this past weekend at a comp. We're just going to cook as much as we can. That's what it's all about. We love to cook. But, again, welcome to the show. The number to call, as always, is 347-202-0263. That is the number to call in. Pick up the phone. Dial that number. 347-202-0263. Call in. Say what's going on tonight. Say what's up. Say you're great, you suck, whatever. We want to hear from you. That's what it's all about, barbecue. We've got a lot of great guys that call into the show. We have just got a huge audience that listens in every week. We sure appreciate each and every one of you. When you get ready to call in, hey, I'm ready for you to call in. That's what it's all about. We just spread the word of barbecue. We're promoting all these teams that call in. We promote the individual, their team, their sponsors, their events. That's what we're going to talk about. That's what we always talk about. We want to talk about chicken. We always want to talk about, we want to do a little chicken talk. As you well know, chicken is a tough category, so we love to talk it. We love to talk brisket. We love to talk pork. We love to talk ribs. And it's just what it's all about. That's what it is. We're keeping it real. We're keeping it barbecue. 101 is what it's all about. We'd love to hear from you. This show here, I just really enjoy doing. The more I do it, the more enjoyment I have, and the more I want to do it. I never would have thought when I first started that I would actually have done this long. It just seems like the more we do it, the more we want to do it. We talk barbecue. We've met a world of people, just like going to a competition. And you all know what I'm talking about, especially the guys that go to compete. When you go to a comp, you meet people. At least I do. I know you do. You meet people. You meet good people. And we all need some positives and some pluses in our lives, and barbecue is that for me. I'm sure it's that for you, too. We meet great people all over the country. Right here on this show, we meet great people just like at a comp. So that's what this show's about. And before I go any further, I apologize for being late tonight. I could not get the studio up and running, and I was afraid that we were not even going to have a show. So I'm thankful to be here having the show. We haven't missed one yet. Hopefully we won't. But, like I say, a lot of fun. Call in. Become part of the Q crew. Talk barbecue. Cut up with us. You can shig. You can gig. Or you can just give us a little ale. It doesn't matter. We just have a lot of fun. And we love to hear from all these different characters from all over the country because, hey, we all have a little in it. We all have character. So, you know, this show brings out a lot of character, a lot of great guys, and I'm just happy to be here. Before I go any further, like I say, I want to thank all my sponsors. I greatly appreciate all my sponsors. You as a barbecue team knows what I'm talking about. If you go out and compete, sponsors do make a considerable difference. They are a world of help. I personally love to get out there and promote their products. I've got a great team of sponsors, a big family of sponsors. Just have some dynamite products. I mean, it's just, you know, I'm not telling you they're dynamite and they're not dynamite. They are dynamite. And everybody that's tried them or beginning to use them or go and get them, they call and say, hey, you know, I thought I would try that since you mentioned it. And it's a killer product. Well, you're right. You know, I mean, I'm not gonna blow smoke up your butt. I'm telling you, these products that we're using, that these sponsors are kicking out, you know, the dynamite products. I'm gonna give you the websites, tell you a little about them. But before I do the websites, I do want to bring up BBQSuperstars.com. If you've never been to BBQSuperstars.com and you're a new listener to the show, welcome to the show. We'd love to have you. If you'd like to call in, the number to call is 347-202-0263. But BBQSuperstars.com, that website is complete. It has barbecue information. It's just loaded, jam-packed full. If you're a new team, would like some helpful hints and see how the pros do it, you can go to that website. As YouTube links to all Daryl Mass Barbecue Superstars how-to videos is basically what it is. He has interviewed hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds of teams, comp teams that know what they're doing, that can give you little helpful hints. It's a dynamite website. It has a shop zone in it. You can get anything on this shop zone that you need or anything that you would love to have. It's on there. Go check it out. Just have a little time when you go because it is a huge website and it's loaded up full of barbecue information, barbecue products. It's just dynamite. That's all I can say about it. Go check it out. BBQSuperstars.com. You will not be sorry. Also, some of my other sponsors, I'm going to go down the list and just talk about all my sponsors because I do greatly appreciate them. Blue's Hawk Barbecue Sauce, if you've never tried it, you need to get you a jar. If you don't get you a jar, you're missing out. There's three dynamite products on Blue's Hawk Barbecue Sauce that actually four products. We don't talk much about mustard sauce, but he has a dynamite mustard sauce also. But you've got Blue's Hawk Original, Blue's Hawk Tennessee Red, which is dynamite, more of a vinegar-based sauce, and his newest Blue's Hawk Smoky Mountain. And then, of course, the Blue's Hawk Mustard. And if you've not tried any of those, I would strongly suggest you get you a jar and try it out. The Original is dynamite on anything, chicken, ribs, pork. The Red works wonderful on pork. The mustard, you can use it any way you want to use the mustard. And the Smoky Mountain, there again, it works well on all categories. Get you some, try it out, you will not be sorry. Blue's Hawk Barbecue Sauce, dynamite, dynamite, dynamite. Also, I would like to bring your attention to Maverick Industries, which is MaverickHousewares.com. Maverick has an awesome, awesome quick temp pen. You will get a dynamite instant read on your meat. It has a huge LCD backlit display, so you can see this display at night with no lights. You can check your meat in the pit. You don't need a flashlight. You don't need a drop cord. It's a great piece. Let me tell you, it's dynamite. Check them out. Maverick Industries, MaverickHouseware.com. Check it out and try the new barbecue PT100. Also, Grill Great, GrillGreat.com. Mr. Brad Barrett has got a dynamite product right here. You can set this grill grate on top of any grill, charcoal, gas, smoker, whatever, has different sizes, Komodo, drag, you know, for your Komodo, your green eggs, your Weber kettles, your traditional rectangular smoke grills, your smokers, grillgrate.com. Go to that site. Check it out. You will not be disappointed. This will cook an off-the-chart steak, let me tell you. Check it out, grillgrate.com. You will not be disappointed. Also, meatrake.com. These little utensils will save your hands, especially if you're pulling butts. It will bust a butt, shred it in no time. It's a dynamite little product. You can use it many other ways, but as far as meat pullers, they're dynamite. Meatrake.com, check them out. And I also want to bring, you know, I've got saws, I've got thermometers, quick temp thermometers, I've got utensils, I have got a dynamite rub that I use. It's a killer rub. It's winning everywhere. Matter of fact, a good friend of mine with a team used it this past weekend. He won a grand championship with it. It gave me a walk also. It's just a dynamite rub. It's Junior Urias up in smoke, rub for grub. This rub right here is, like I say, once you try it, get it, you'll love it. It's got a little heat to it. It's got some saltiness to it. I mean, it's just got a flavor of its own. You try it out, you'll love it. I mean, it's a good product, no doubt. You can use it about any way. There's several other techniques I do with it, but listen, go check it out, Up in Smoke, Rub for Grub, killer product. I can't say more about it because, I mean, it's 110% in my book. Check it out. You will not be disappointed. And welcome my newest sponsor to the sponsor family, Chris Chadwick Show and my team, Hall County Cookers, Green Mountain Grills. I have got my Green Mountain Grill, my Daniel Boone, in. It is together. It is burning in. I'm ready to rock and roll with it, ready to use that bad boy. I have just been so busy this week. I have not been Facebooking. I've been working. I've been cooking. I've been trying to recoup from a big weekend this past weekend. So I will get out and check my Facebook page, Chris Chadwick. I guarantee you I'm going to get that Green Mountain Grill out on it. Also, Chris Chadwick, Let's Talk Smoke radio show on my Facebook page. That Facebook page also, I'll be posting things about it on that also. Be sure to check me out there on Facebook, Chris Chadwick, Hall County Cookers Competition Barbecue Team, or the Chris Chadwick Let's Talk Smoke radio show. Check those out on Facebook. Like them. Send me a friend request. Love to hear from you. The number to call tonight, 347-202-0263 is the number. I am going to pull up the chat room, and it's ready to rock and roll here in a minute. I'm going to try to multitask tonight, run a chat room, run the studio board, talk with Pitmasters, and just make it all happen. That's the way we do it right here, shoot from the hip, make it rock. Well, let's rock and roll, make it happen. The chat room is up and running now. Don't want to talk, don't want to listen, come to the chat room and let's get it on. So, come on, join in. We're ready to make something happen tonight. Hold on just a minute, please. Okay, didn't realize my phone was on mute. I've been talking away, rocking and rolling, and nothing happening. Crazy me. Welcome to the chat room, guys. I see Jason. Jason, welcome to the chat room. Tim, welcome to the chat room. Guys, y'all just chat away. I'm gonna try to cue in right there in just a minute and get with y'all. Hope everything's going well with y'all tonight. We've got it all going, waiting on some callers. Usually my callers don't call in for a little while. Beginning of the show, we do want to talk about our cook this past weekend. Man, usually when you go to a comp, you do not have to serve any food, prepare any food. But a lot of these small town festivals, it's a little different. This particular one was here in my hometown this weekend. They do allow you to, quote, I don't want to say vend, but provide food for friends, family. And let me tell you, I had hundreds and hundreds upon hundreds of people this past weekend that we served, we made plates for. And trying to compete and then at the same time we'll wear you out, let me tell you. There's no telling how many hundreds of plates we did make this weekend. I know I had a pit with about 60 racks of ribs on. Do I need to say more? That is a lot of cooking right there, especially in the middle of trying to compete. We had four categories. Of course, we had pulled pork, we had ribs, we had chicken, and we also had pit master's choice, which is basically chef's choice or anything. But so we had a four-category comp with three sauce entries this past weekend. It was a slam wide open from Friday morning. It took me a week to prepare for this comp, try to get things ready. Friday morning, it took several hours to get things set up and to the competition, and I had it basically by myself until later that evening. And let me tell you, cooking, letting it roll, trying to serve a few friends, it wore me out. So I've been kind of quiet on Facebook this week, haven't had a lot of time to actually get on there, so we're going to make up for it in the next few days. But when you've got ribs on, you've got shoulders on, you've got butts on, and you're well aware how long it takes to cook those, especially if you're wrapping and trying to set up a camp, a cook site. We were there with our trailer this past weekend. Had our trailer, our pop-ups up. You know, pop-ups, that right there, we can talk about pop-ups. What a blessing to have a pop-up. We had our pop-up set up, our banners rolling, our banners flying, our flags flying. I didn't have time to put the lights up. I mean, it was that wide open, that crazy. But we had a big cook, and it just wore me out. I don't know. It wasn't that hot. I don't know what it was. It zapped me, brothers and sister, let me tell you, I'm dragging today. Had a big cook this morning. We did a local golf tournament. We try to help out. We try to participate in city events. We had a local golf tournament we catered this morning. And by the time we got that all prepped up, set up, cooked, served up, it was this afternoon, work a little bit, get home, get the studio fired up, get ready to do the show. It just wore me out, let me tell you. So I'm looking for some callers tonight to help me out. And the number to call tonight is 347-202-0263. Let's have some callers call in. Let's talk some cue. Let's get something rocking and rolling in here. I'm going to take a quick break and kick up this song right here. You know, I love AC/DC. The first song that I ever heard AC/DC was Back in Black, and it was on an 8-track. And I'm not telling you how old I am now, but I'm going to kick it up right now and let it play. Give us a few minutes. All right. Tonight, I don't know if there is a dark cloud circling my head, but I had trouble signing. I had trouble making this music work. I don't know what it is around here, but we're going to still make it work, and we're still going to have a good show regardless. We're going to make it happen. A big hell yeah goes out to everybody listening tonight. The number to call, 347-202-0263. Like always, that is the number to call. Call in. Don't be shy. Pick your phone up. Dial that number. Let's talk. Let's talk smoke. I'm ready to talk a little bit. We do have a caller in queue. And welcome to the show, 806. Mr. Lance, how are you doing tonight, sir?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Man, I'm dragging, let me tell you. I'm dragging, but we're making it happen. We've got the show up. We've got the chat room up, trying to do a little chatting in there, trying to play a little music. I don't know if it was working or not. I don't know. There's a little dark cloud circling my head this evening. But
that's
we're just going to make it
cloud.
Happen.
I think it's over here, too.
Oh, man. We need a little sunshine, some happy days.
There you go, man. I'm ready.
I am too. You know, we had some sunshine this past weekend. It didn't rain. That was the first competition of the year for me that it wasn't raining or snowing. So, you know, I'm happy with that. I mean, it was a good day in the neighborhood. I'm telling you.
It's dirt around here, you know. Of course, you know, I think I had my first competition this year. That we actually had rain and not dirt. So, you know, I guess things are changing a little bit.
I was just about to say, if anybody is just joining in with us tonight, I didn't introduce you like I should have, and I apologize. Mr. Lance Moore of West Texas Pitmasters, show host for Sunday night, West Texas Pitmaster Show is in the house with us tonight. Dynamite Man, awesome Pitmaster. Call in. Let's talk to me. Talk to Lance. We can give you a little info or input or tell you how to do it or tell you how not to do it.
Yeah, there you go.
That's the key.
Yeah,
we're going to tell them how not to do. That's right. I mean, the eagle is just that flown. I know it's crazy. It's crazy. We're not, you know, it's just everybody has those kind of cooks and those kind of days. I know. I've had a few.
But you're
I can't
not so
complain.
Many of them, man.
I know.
No, you know, it has been, you and I were talking about that earlier. You know, I get depressed about that, and I'm sure like any other cook. And, you sit there and you look at it and you think, dadgummit, I'm off my game. I'm not doing as well as I should. And then, you go back and you reevaluate, you look at what you've done. And, a lot of times it's not as bad as we all think it is. I mean, you've done better than you thought you have. And, and then you got to be thankful for that end of it. And, sometimes we get kind of that tunnel vision and, if we're not at the top of the pack, we feel disappointed, and I guess that's something natural. But, you go back and you look and you think about the grand scheme of the competition or, the contest or whatever, and, a lot of times you did better than what you thought you did.
That's right. We're disappointed because we didn't win at all. And I don't mean to say it bad. We're disappointed because
that.
We didn't get our name called in every category and win grand champion, and we just got one or two calls. And what's wrong with that? Because used to, we were just dying to get our name called or get in the top 25. And and now we're just kicking ourselves in the dirt because we didn't get our name called in all the categories or win the grand. I'm not trying to be selfish by any means, and we just got to get back and get a little more perspective of it. And, we haven't lost our touch. It's just we can't win them all. I mean, I don't know anybody that's ever won them all.
No, I tell you what, and if there was, something else, you can look at. Even the big boys. You look at Myron. You look at Trigg. Them boys are at the top of their game. And, since I've been watching Pitmasters and stuff like that, look at, they've had some success, but, not near the success that you would think that they probably should have had with their track records, you look at that, and I guess maybe, that puts it more back into perspective, too, is that, even them guys there that know exactly what the heck they're doing. They're not fumbling around any. They're on their game. They're on their game anytime that they go into something like that, and have the best equipment and everything out there to do all that stuff. Even them have their day too. And you look at it like that. And you look at the level of competition now. We talked about that before, that, all the information that's out there and all the different products that's out there that has enhanced things and has gone so much further than, what it was, 5 years ago, 2 years ago. There's just more and more of that stuff coming out there, and then there's more information for people to get a hold of. And so, so even some of the new cooks that are coming in, they've got a huge advantage to come into some of that stuff because there's a lot more to learn out there. And some of them guys are great cooks, been cooking for years. Same thing you and I did. We cooked for people and all that end of it, and then jumped off into the competition end of it. And it's just a whole nother level. It's no different than the NFL or anything else. Look at these athletes now. Good Lord. It's just completely different.
I know it. It is. And there's so many gadgets and products out there that you can buy and try. And we work, and I cook still, personally. I cook on my first homemade cooker I built. I had to re-weld the bottom in the bottom of my burn box and reinforce that bad boy where I could get her going.
Yes, sir. I'm painting my firebox right now as we speak.
I'm telling you. I'm telling you. And painting and putting paint on my, you know, I can buy the highest temp paint there is. My burn box is not double insulated.
No.
And it's not going to hold any paint. I think I could season that bad boy with a little oil, like a black cast iron skillet, better than I could paint it and it stay on.
You know, you may have something. I haven't even thought about something like that, you know, but that is, you know, that may be exactly right. I mean, I never thought about that, but.
Season it, yeah,
you
because
know,
it'll rust every time. But if you season that bad boy, eventually it's gonna be like a cast iron skillet. I don't know. Mine gets so hot, I don't know if it'll burn the oil, just burn it completely off or not. But it might be one big fireball.
Yeah, I understand that. You know, so far, you know, thank goodness I hadn't had one of those grease fires in my pit. I mean, I've come close, and I've averted it, but, you know, I've heard, you know, lots of guys having, you know, turn around and, you know, they got a grease fire going and you know, everything burns up and,
it can happen real easy. It can really happen. You know what I call that? I call that super clean mode. I call that super clean. When you get the grease fire going, you're super clean in that pit.
Yeah.
And one thing I will say about my pit. Now, if you've got, you know, like we usually cook four or five shoulders or four or five, you know, I've just recently started even cooking butts, but when we start cooking four or five shoulders, you're going to have some grease at the bottom of that pit. And there's no way around it. And my pit is designed, I've got a back access door where I can take and shovel hot coals out of my box, drop that access door, and shovel coals under what I'm cooking also, so I can cook direct and indirect at the same time. Now, one thing the coals do, other than provide heat directly under it in direct heat, but it's so high up, it's not really charring it or blackening up, but it is soaking up that grease.
Right.
But we've had an instance or two where it's went in super clean mode. And what's nice about that thing, it's a quarter-inch thick steel. And we can drop those doors and close that flue on that stack, and it will shut her down. But now my thermometer will run about, it'll go all the way around and back up about half. You know, it goes all the way around. But you have to be careful about that. And a lot of these new thin pits, I don't think, would ever take something like that. I think it would be all she wrote.
No, I think she's so right, too. You know, of course, I use a propane tank, you know, so it's real heavy, too. And, you know, it was rated for like 600 degrees or something like that. Matter of fact, I have the tag when it was built. It was built in Sweetwater, Texas in 1959 was when my tank was built. And it had a tag on it when I got it. And you can still read it, and I was really shocked about that. And, you know, it'll take, you know, just what you said, it'll take a lot of heat. And, you know, that's just that good old thick steel, good old American steel back then, you know.
Yeah, you're right. It was American steel.
Japanese steel now may not handle it, you're right. You may have a hell of a deal going on. But, you know, and that's like me. Now, of course, what I did with mine was I put a drain. I've got a 2-inch drain in the bottom of mine. I just got a gate valve. And so what I do a lot of times, I go to a car wash, and I can open up that valve, and I can just hose it out real quick. And, you know, I usually do it for every cook-off. I've kind of gotten into that habit. And, you know, so I don't have a lot down in there normally. You know, I have some, but, you know, I keep it cleaned out pretty well because I'm not really set up to burn coals in the bottom of mine like you are.
Right.
Mine's all pretty much indirect, and then I have I have like a 2-foot by 4-foot grill on the other side. That, you know, if I want to do some direct heat, if I want to do burgers or steaks, or, you know, like tomorrow night we're going to do fajitas. You know, I'll do them over on that other side. You know, and light that bad boy up. and, you know, go from there and get the direct heat on it and go to town. But you know, but what you say, there are a lot of guys, even a lot of guys around here that do just like you do. They'll throw their coals in the bottom of them, burn them up, burn them out, and they'll cook like that, and they'll cook both ways. And,
right.
You well, know, mine, I can get it up to, you know, I can get it hot. I mean, I can get it up to 500 degrees indirect. Don't do that very often, but, you know, it's a... The need arises. I can get it hot enough that you can throw a brisket on the front end of it and it'll sizzle.
Well, I'm telling you, that is a way to do it. You know, I was in the grocery store yesterday, matter of fact, and I had pulled up with my pit and parked out front, and I was back at the meat counter. And some lady walks up to me. She says, "I bet that's your pit outside." And I said, "Yes, ma'am, it is." And she says, "I can tell." And I said, "You feel it?" She says, "Yeah." She says, "Yeah, I can tell." And I said, "Well, I hope that's a good thing." She says, "Well, I'm from Texas. And we've lived here." And I said, "Well, you're brisket barbecue then, aren't you?" She said, "Yes, sir, I am." And, I said, "Well, that's what it's all about there." I said, "I bet you don't trim your brisket at all either, do you?" She says, "No, I cook it whole." I said, "Well, that's a Texas thing. See, here in Tennessee, I cut mine up a little bit and trim it up. And I even trim it to fit in the box where I have a smoke ring all the way around my meat when I slice it and put it in that box." As a matter of fact, brisket's what beat me this weekend in Chef's Choice, Pitmaster's Choice. It was an open category, and the brisket beat my pork tenderloin. And I have to give it up for Keith Lib, Tire Park. Bless his heart, he won a grand champion this weekend. He's been close several times, and I was proud to see, you know how it is. If you don't win it, you're proud to see somebody you know win it. And I was proud to see Keith win it. He's been wanting to win one he's been needing to win one. And I was proud to see him win it. You know, he did a good job.
That was his first one?
You know, if I'm not mistaken, it was his first one. And he had some good cooks up there. We were, some good cooks cooking. And, I had to give it up to him. He did a good job, and I was proud to see him win it. You know, I was right there cheering and clapping for him when they called his name. You know, I was proud to see it. So I'm sure he'll be calling. Yeah, it is. You know, he's won several reserves in the past. And he finally got that grand.
Well, yeah, and I mean, it is. I mean, you know, even when you run a reserve, I mean, it's a whole different feeling, but when I won my first grand this year, it's just kind of a little weird feeling. I mean, you don't know how to feel about it. I mean, you know, you're as proud as can be, but I mean, you know, that probably don't show it. I probably never showed that on my face. But, you know, a lot of it was I was in so much disbelief because of the level of competition that I had just cooked against that, you know, I thought, you know, it's not real.
Right.
And, you know, you go up against 65 teams, and I mean 65 of the best of the best here in West Texas, and, you know, I mean, all over in Texas, you know, for that matter, you know, for that one. And it just, you know, when it starts rolling, I mean, it's just, you know, I don't know. It's just one of those feelings that, you know, I don't think, you know, when I played football in high school, I mean, I don't think I felt, you know, even that to that level of it. I mean, it's just a whole different feeling. And, you know, to this day, I still, you know, I don't know how to express that. I mean, it's just, it's just kind of that awe, you know. Is it really real? I mean, you know, you have to go in there and look every now and then, so did that really happen? And,
Oh, I know. I agree with you. You know, and I don't know what's worse, winning one and then not winning anymore for a while, or on the quest to win one and getting close to winning it and still having that desire to win it, because when you win one and then you don't win anymore for a while, then it really gets hard on you. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I mean, you're exactly right. I mean, you know, we come close. Oh, man, I come close like 3 times last year. I was in the top, you know, 3 or 4, you know, and, you know, one time, I mean, we were literally in a tie. And just what you said, kind of how that brisket did you this weekend, that's, you know, how it happened to me. You know, brisket did me in that day. And it was like, you know, yeah, Jim, we were so close. And,
right.
You know, you don't pull it off. And, I mean, you're like, huh. And so, yeah, I mean, you go back out there, and, I mean, you're busting butt, you're studying, you're, you know, sometimes you get almost anal about what you're doing. I mean, you know, nobody, you know, around my camp, you know, they don't mess with anything around my camp. And, I mean, not that, you know, I've barked at anybody or anything like that. They just, you know, they know that I'm in my mode. And I know when it comes time to sample, you know, I can, like I said, I can look at my brother-in-law's face. When he tastes something, and I can tell or not, you know, I've got a good day or a bad day. And
right.
It was like this weekend with chicken. He tasted chicken after we turned it in. And he just kind of had that, well, you know, it's a good chicken. It's the best chicken that I've had, but, you know, it's good, and I'm like, dang, you know, here we are. And sure enough, I mean, it was like a sixth-place chicken. You
right.
know, we weren't in the top five like, you know, we
know.
Could have been.
Yeah.
And, you
yeah.
know,
yeah.
I just feel that way. And, you know, and then you have it that other way that, you know, you have, you know, like, you know, you and I talked about earlier, you know, it's like Ritz. I mean, the look on his face, I was like, wow. Them some damn good ribs. And then, you know, they just final table. I'm like, you know, and even when I taste them, I'm like, you know, that may have been actually the best rib I've ever cooked. But it didn't meet the flavor profile for the people of the church.
Or it fell on the wrong table. You know, that could be some of it, too. That table with a, you know, I don't know what it is. I don't know if you get a table full of dead judges and then a table full of new judges or what. And they think a 7's good. When they give you that 7, boy, they just don't realize they just killed the show for you.
Yeah. Just signed your death certificate.
Yeah, you just hang it up. Just cry. The fat lady is saying it's over. Pack it up, go home, and be upset for a whole other week until the next cook. Because you got that
Well,
set.
You know, yeah, and that's my thing with Kansas City. You know, if you look at, you know, how they rank that, you know, a 7 is above average.
Right.
But above average don't do it nowadays. And so, you know, it's almost like the terminology needs to be changed to a certain degree because, you know, they think above average, they think, man, that's just really great, you know, to a lot of people. And, you know, just what you said, I mean, if you're not in the 8s and the 9s, you're out anymore.
Oh, I know.
You know.
I know. It's over. You get a 7.
I mean, you get one judge, you drop it, you're okay. But you get 2 judges doing something like that, and, I mean, yeah, death certificate signed, sealed, and delivered. You're done. You're probably not going to be
where you want to be. That's right. The reaper's right
beside you.
That's right. That reaper's done slashed that scorecard. It's over. You know, he's right there with that sickle. It's over. You get 2 7s. You just hang it up. It's over.
So, well, it was fun, but it wasn't that fun.
Yeah, that's right. And it's just, oh, it's heartbreaking. You just want to, oh, just cry about it. You know, just big kids with their toys, you just want to cry sometimes. And even worse is when you've got a 2 or 3 or 4 hour drive home to think about that. Look at that score sheet and then drive a little bit and then look at that score sheet and then look up at the road. It's terrible to I tell you what, we've always had a pretty decent cook, and this is an example. We've always cooked and was on fire last year. And matter of fact, before we come in time to do the show, I was on one of my grand champion prizes, mowing my yard.
I won a mower last year. And
wow.
Yeah, and I was driving. We went to this competition and cooked, and man, we thought we had some dynamite, bulletproof food we turned in. You know, we were really, when it was time to get, announce the winners, the calls, we were ready to walk, you know, more than one time. I mean, and when we finally got those scores, we didn't get a call. When I finally got those scores, I mean, we were like at the bottom of the barrel on all the categories. I think they messed up and confused our boxes with somebody else. They had to, because you don't go from winning every competition you go to being at the bottom of the barrel.
Yes, sir.
But,
I agree.
You got to take it. It's like an umpire call. Now, here's the bottom line. Once it's called, it's done, it's over.
Yeah.
There ain't no changing it. It's umpire. It's called. It's done. There's no changing it, no calling and whining about it. It's done. You know, and mistakes can happen, but after it's called and over, you just might as well forget that one and move on to the next one. That's all you can do.
That's it.
There you go. Some people don't realize that, but I was in softball, girls softball. I coached it a long time and run the league, and I know exactly. Once that call is called, there ain't no changing it. So you just suck it up and be a trooper and go on to the next one.
And it is. I mean, it's heartbreaking. I mean, you know, we had that in Vegas, you know. And, you know, just what you said, I mean, I'm still not, you know, I had one of those situations that, you know, I had talked to the head judge, and a great guy. And, you know, matter of fact, it's Mike Lake. And, you know, hell, I mean, he's been everywhere. I mean, he's, you know, been a celebrity judge. And great, great people, him and his wife. And, you know, I've been around them several times. And, you know, and I asked him this year, I said, how does, you know, I noticed on score sheets, you know, if your team number in a Kansas City cook is like 14, you know, generally the alternate number that the judges see is going to be 214, 314, 414, whatever, you know, whatever
right,
that is.
Right.
And, you know, and I, after doing a few of those, you know, I started seeing that pattern. And so, you know, Mike was over, he was checking my meat and stuff like that, and we were just talking about it. And I said, what dictates that, or, you know, how does that happen? And he said, we can put any kind of number we want to on the line. He said, we can change the numbers we want. He said, but we normally don't, because it gets too confusing. He said, you go to messing with the numbers too much, then, you know, there's too much to figure out. And
right.
He said, we stick with, you know, whatever your team number is, we put a number in front of it. You know, blah, blah, blah. And so, like, in Vegas, my team number was, I think, 6 or 7, whatever it was, anyways. Well, we had a fourth place walking pork, and, I was happy, but, you know, I had a call in ribs second to last. I've never
really
hit that low in ribs. And, you know, I was like, you know, man, they were good ribs. I mean, were they my best ribs? No, they were not my best ribs. But, you know, they were, like, pretty, you know, maybe middle of the pack. Of course, there's a lot of good cooks out there. I mean, we were up against Johnny Trigg and Big Papa Smokers. I mean, we were up there against some you know, big players. And
right.
So we drove 300 miles that night, and we stopped at a Denny's to eat. And that was the first time I really got the scorecard out. And just what you said, I'm sitting there and I'm looking at it. Well, I get to noticing that, you know, my team number, I think, was 6. Well, the score sheet that I have and what they had placed on everybody, for me, was like 307.
Right.
And I thought, what in the world is that about? You know? And so, you know, I got to going through all of that and got to looking. And, you know, I don't know how they'd ever know. I mean, I don't see how you could ever fix that. Because if that's what had happened, if it did get off of numbering, You know,
right.
That's what all of the – that's how the judges were scoring anyway. So, I mean, you know, there's not any way to really go back into to fix that.
No.
And but, you know, you always have that thought, you know, just kind of like what you said, you know, you always – you know, you wonder, that's the way it was called, that's the way it is, that's the way it's going to be in the books, you know.
It's done.
That's just that's it. Right. But, you know, you always kind of have that wonder, too, like, man, did – you know, did something, you know, did some, you know, weird thing happen that day that, you know, they're not right? You know, you never know. I mean, you're human, you know, they're human, you know, things happen. And, you know, it's like I said, I mean, like an ump calling the game. I mean, sometimes they see it from a different angle or something like that, and they call it to their best of their ability. And, you know, you may have been, you know, dead on seeing it and, you know that he was off on it, but that's what it is, and you go
that's
off.
That's what it is. That's it. And that's just and, how it that's how it went down. Last year in McKenzie, though, we had a rough scoring system. We had an issue with that, and it was just terrible. They finally got it hammered out last year, and it was late before it was over. This year, the scoring system was down pat. I mean, it was just on the money, just bam, 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 there it is, here it is, and that's how it is. You know, they had it perfect.
Right.
And I was proud to see that. But we had three sauce categories, and which it was ketchup, mustard, and vinegar. And it was to my understanding that we're going to call three sauce categories. And we're going to pay first place on one sauce category, pay, you know, they were going to pay on the first place sauce category.
Right.
And what happened is they, you know, how the form was, they paid on first place sauce category, which was ketchup sauce, and they didn't even call first place vinegar or mustard. You know, it was just an oversight how she was doing it, and she just didn't call it, and she didn't realize it until it was too late. There wasn't no calling going back and calling it then.
Yeah.
There
you go.
You know, and there was, you know, there wasn't but one person kind of upset that I know of, and, you know, and I'd entered all three, but the thing of it is they didn't collect money on all three. They collected for one sauce category, so we can't complain too much because we only paid for one. So I just told him he'd just have to do better next year. And he happened to place first on vinegar, but he didn't place first on ketchup. And, so that's how it went down, and that's what it was, you know. And we would have had calls on all the sauces, but they just called first place, one place on sauce, and that's how it went down. And we just went on and went with it from there. There ain't no need in crying about it because there ain't nothing they're going to do about it. You know, that's how competitions are.
You
complain about it. You complain about it, it makes it worse, and it makes them not want to even do it next time.
That's exactly it. Well, you know, and it's like, you know, it's like I said, you know, we had a situation this weekend, you know, with head judges. And, I mean, you know, I heard a little bit about, you know, what had happened. And, you know, my understanding was our head judge that was supposed to be there had something else that she had to do, notified them 3 weeks, somewhere or another, you know, things got crossed and they didn't have another head judge lined up. And, you know, and this is IBCA, and I do tons of IBCA, and I support IBCA 100%. People, great organization. And, you know, thing about it was, since there was a head judge 30 miles away. And they were able to give her a call, and she's like, yes, you know, I'm available. You know, I got to get trays ready, and I'll be there. And she got her stuff ready, and I mean, you know, I think that she probably got the phone call at somewhere around 9 o'clock. Well, by 10:30, 10:35, she's walking into the contest ready to go. You know, of course, you got to have a coach meeting. And, you know, by the time you get through that process, I mean, you know, technically we were 10 minutes away from turning. And, but, you know, still, it was just one of those days, and, I mean, it happened, and they got everything together. They pulled it off, and, you know, maybe things skewed a little bit. You know, maybe things changed a little bit. You know, you never know. It may have been the same way no matter what. But the thing was is that the promoters and IBTA were able to correct it. And, I mean, essentially, I mean, in an hour or so, and, you know, get it taken care of. And, I mean, you know, you got to give them, you know, kudos for that end of it, that, you know, they
yeah.
got it done. You know, because, you know, it could have gone the other way, too. I mean, no head judge, lost the sanctioning, and, you know, you either just pack up your crap that you've been cooking all night long, and it's just a bust. They refund the money, and, you know, and matter of fact, they come to me about beans, you know, because, you know, I just say we do a lot of bean jackpot cook-offs.
Right, right.
And the bean turn-in was supposed to be at 10 o'clock. Well, you know, they come by and said, hey, you know, 10 o'clock, it ain't going to happen. We're going to double it up. You know, beans and chicken are going to be at 11.
Right.
And, you know, you're sitting there and you're looking at your beans and you're like, dang, you know, they're going to have to essentially sit for another hour. So probably going to get a little soft. Probably not going to be, the, you know, where your beans need to be. But, you know, it is beans. It's, you know, it's only a $10 deal. I mean, it wasn't
right.
a huge thing. And, you know, he's like, well, you know, and he told me, he said, you know, he said, if you don't want to do the beans, he said, well, you know, we'll refund the money. And I said, no, I said, man, I said, they're cooked. I said, I'm going to turn them in. I said, because you never know. And you don't.
Yeah, that's right.
If you don't turn them in, you'll never know what happened. So, you know, that's that thing. And I mean, you know, that was a minor detail. I mean, you know, I walked over, I turned the burner off on my beans. I mean, they were supposed to be done. And, or I, technically, they probably were done. And, you know, I turned it off. I mean, I'm in a cast iron Dutch oven, so, you know, they're going to stay warm. And, you know, we're going to go a little longer and we'll be okay. And,
yeah.
you know, I had a good bean that day. Maybe a little softer
right.
than they
right.
should have been, but, yeah.
Let me ask you
very
something
well
on the beans. Let me ask you something
you
on beans. I'm curious about this, but hold on a second. Let's see. We've got $10 in queue. And I just refreshed my board. You know, you have to refresh your studio board before some of these callers actually pop up. You don't know they're there. And
yes, sir.
I'm going to welcome these guys to the show. You know, everybody thinks that's a line, but it's not a line. It's the truth, I promise you, because you can get in there and you'll have to refresh and get these, you know, and then you won't have anybody. And next minute, you've got 10 or 12 callers in queue.
Yeah.
And you just got, I'm going to try to get all these guys in. If they want to talk, I want them to talk. I want them to be here with us. And let's see. Let's welcome 904-673 to the show. Let's see if we can get him queued in now. Yeah, I can't imagine. There we go. Welcome him to the show. I'm not familiar with that number, but if he wants to talk, we want him to talk. 904-673, welcome to the show. You're live.
What's going on, Chris? What's going on, Chris?
Oh,
Sally?
Hey, man, what am I thinking? Yes, I know whose number this is now. This is Mr. Blake Moody, Tortoise Q. What's happening, Blake Moody?
Man, I'm just I'm laughing at y'all talking about them judges, man. You never know.
You never know. I'm telling you, it's rough sometimes. And I'll tell you a funny judge story just here shortly. Did you get a call this past weekend?
Man, I did, and I'm only laughing because that food I turned in was terrible.
Well, I know.
That food was terrible.
I'm telling you, you just, when you don't have any confidence in it at all is when it's gonna hit. That's usually
absolutely.
The rule of thumb. But when I don't have any confidence in mine, it pays off. I mean, it's at the bottom of the barrel, I promise you. Oh, man. Well, that's awesome. Congratulations on your calls. What'd you get called
hey,
in?
I got a third in ribs.
Bang. Big boy. That's the way to
yeah,
do it.
Yeah, man.
I'm telling you, you know, I hadn't had a call in ribs at all this year. I mean, I have really, I don't know what in the world I'm doing. Usually I'm pretty hot on ribs, and I hadn't got a call at all. And I hadn't been able to get the texture, the tenderness in these ribs. They and you know what? This past competition, tenderness scores were 9s, And I don't know where in the hell they thought they were, they had a 9 at, because I thought they were tough as leather but good as gold. And then they give me terrible scores on my flavor and give me 9s on my tenderness, and I don't know. I just leave it alone and go on. It's like an umpire call. Just let it roll. And,
so what brand of rib are you cooking now, Chris?
Well, you know, that's another story. Usually I cook Swift.
Okay.
And, Swift is going to be an all-natural product. They're not in a solution as like the Tyson or the Smithfield.
Yes, sir.
And I don't know. And, you know, we're cooking them, and I just do not know. I don't know if I've got too much salt. Oh, I don't know. I don't know if I'm curing them instead of cooking them. I'm telling you, I don't know what the deal is.
Now, you're still cooking a spare rib, right?
I have been doing baby backs lately. And,
you're not getting them tender.
No.
Wow.
Not, you know, well, there's a thing about a spare rib or a baby back. I'm doing the baby backs. But some of these guys, the guys that walked, like second or first on the ribs this past weekend, they were tender, and I liked them, okay? They were tender. You can take your finger and push on that meat and just push the meat off the bone, you know? I mean, they were tender.
Right.
But they were kind of dry. They were kind of drier, but they were tender. Well, they were bland. They didn't have any flavor to them.
Same here this year. We're having the same deal. A lot of these guys got more of a bland rib or hit, and I don't understand it either.
All right. Well, my rib had wow factor. I mean, it had some smoke to it. I mean, we smoked the shit out of, pardon my French. I should have said that. We smoked them. We smoked them heavy. And it had a pretty smoke ring, and they were moist. You could mash on them and get some juice out of them. But they weren't, you know, they weren't flaky tender. And I just thought, you know, you had to tug on it a little bit on the bite and tug a little on the bone. You know, I figured, you know, we cooked them 5-6 hours. If we cooked them 2 more hours, I just hate to cook a rib 7-8 hours to get them tender. I just don't think you got to do that.
Well, okay. And so you're cooking a baby back 5-6 hours. Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow. See, and I'm cooking, you know, last year, when I was cooking, and I cooked nothing but spare in our competitions, and we cooked,
right.
I generally do a St. Louis, you know, I turn them up pretty good. And, you know, I was doing a 7 to 8 hour cook. I was running, you know, 2 1/4, 250. You know, I'm running the Guru this year. My pit's running a little hotter. I'm running probably 275. So I'm doing about a 6 hour cook.
Right.
And, I mean, you just what you say. I mean, I'll take a spare. And I mean, they're 95% of the time, I mean, they're real tender, just like what you're saying. I can take my finger and, I can pull it off the bone. And, you know, of course, IPC is a little different. And, but, you know, same deal. I mean, I've had some of them, I mean, just multiple profiles of flavor going through them. And, you know, they just... You know, they don't do well. And, you know, I'm kind of the same way. You've got a tenderness thing, and I'm kind of, you know, in this flavor thing. And, you know, I don't understand it.
I'm jamming mine out. I'm rubbing mine down, and I'm smoking them and saucing them heavy, and I'm glazing, burning that sauce on there, charring them a little bit. And I mean, you know, just textbook kind of deal. You know, smoke them 3 or 4 hours and then wrap them. Try to let them rest a couple hours and pull them off and then glaze them and then try to char some of that glaze, you know. And, I'd flip my ribs. I'd turn them.
Right.
And I hadn't been turning them. And I'm going to start turning them again. It shouldn't make a difference, but I'm going to start turning them again. I don't know if that. What about you, Blake? Are you flipping your ribs? How long are you cooking your ribs? Are you cooking spares or bacons?
I was trying to hear if I could understand y'all right. Y'all cooking them for 6 hours?
Yeah. Damn, I was like, are they talking about pork butts? I'm trying to pay attention here, but
no, we're talking about ribs.
So that's our turn there, buddy.
My pit's running 275 to 300 degrees. You hear me?
That's
275
right.
to 300 degrees. It's rolling.
Sir. Promise.
Man, this Florida air must be different than that Tennessee or Texas air because I'm 275 and you know start them bone down on the rack and at least a couple hours smoke and flip them in the foil.
Yes, sir.
Well, let me tell you, that just don't work around here. I'll even say this. The Friday before the competition ever started for Saturday, that Friday morning, I got to the shop to load up everything to get up and get set up. Well, I rolled the stumps outside of my shop, and I fired that bad boy up. Got her hot and put on 8 racks of ribs, rubbed them down, put them on there. And I left them on that stumps and let them cook while I loaded and did all that work. Getting all that stuff loaded, unloaded, packed up there for several hours. And then I finally got back later that afternoon, and I wrapped them. They were still tough as leather. I don't know what the deal was. And they cooked for a while. And they cooked in the stumps, too. But I just didn't have any success there. But after I wrapped them and let them heat on my big pit, finally, they got tender, and then they were gone. You know, man, I had tons of ribs this past weekend.
Right.
So it takes forever for me. Here, we've got another caller in queue. Let me go on and get Keith Webb in here, too. Keith Webb, Pirate Pork, live on the air here. He is about to be queued in. He usually has a good tender rib. I don't know. He's using a water cooker, though, backwoods. Keith Webb, Pirate Pork, welcome to the show.
Hey, what's up, man?
Oh,
Mr. Grand Champion.
Yes, sir. Grand Champion.
Grand Champion.
It took us long enough to get back in there.
You better savor the flavor because Friday it's over. It goes from week to week, so you better savor that flavor. On.
Hey, you have to get that rough on that quick.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to have to throw yourself all over again this week, buddy.
We're
cooking this weekend, so we got another shot at it.
There you go. I wish you luck.
Well, I might come up there Friday afternoon. I can't cook this weekend because I'm headed out of town. I'm headed to Florida. I'm headed Florida way Saturday.
To what?
Where Florida? Florida. I'm headed to Florida.
Where's that, Jacksonville?
No. Grayson Beach or Grayton Beach. Somewhere close to Destin area, maybe.
Oh, sure. Panhandle area.
Yeah, we're headed down there for a wedding. We'll be there a whole week, so I might have to bring some Tennessee Q with me, you know, make a makeshift pit out there on the beach.
Pull the country.
Let the smoke roll on the beach. Who knows?
That's it.
Well, I'll put on Elvis Clam Bake song, and we'll just have a damn clam bake now, I'm telling you.
Hey, I'm all for that, a good old shrimp boil. Hell, that's just a good damn barbecue.
That's it, yeah. Son.
Yep.
But our ribs, you know, Keith Webb had some good tender ribs. He got call on ribs in Baller, but they were good and tender. I don't know how they do it. I don't know what they do it.
I thought they were pretty good at McKenzie, but evidently they wasn't good enough.
I thought
they were pretty good.
You can't win on everything, you know.
Well, I know, but I did think they was pretty good. They didn't do that well.
Well, see, you know, last year when I done a 7-hour rib last year, I'd run 3 to 4 hours unwrapped, and then I'd do my magic, put them in the foil, put them meat down. And I'd run them for, you know, in those three, well, actually about 2.5 hours, and then the last 30 minutes, I'd glaze them and pull them out. And they done pretty well. But I'm running a little hotter temperature this year, so they're cooking a little faster. So I adjusted for that. And so This year I'm probably running a 6-hour cook. So I'm running 2.5 hours unwrapped, and then I'm running 2.5 hours wrapped, and then that last 30 minutes, you know, I'm tossing and, you know, blah, blah, blah. Isn't that right?
Right.
That work?
Right.
Isn't that right,
yeah.
Right math there? We're pretty close. And, you know, I've even had some, those ribs like this weekend, you could squeeze them, juice would run out of them, they were tender. I mixed my rub in with one of my sponsors' rub this weekend, Oak Ridge, and, man, just gave it a whole nother flavor profile. I mean, just another layer in there, and, I mean, it was just, you know, I thought they were just unbelievable, and nothing, you know, final table. I mean, top 15 out of 45 teams, not a bad deal, but, you know, you're out of the money, you're out of points, and, you know, the thing is they call your number, and you're like, okay, yeah, that was final table, you know, I'm in there. But, you know, to be honest with you, it means nothing, you know, other than, you know, that you're in the top 15 out of that deal. But, you know, and I've been that way all year with ribs, to where last year, you know, ribs, I was kind of the same way. I mean, ribs were always hitting. I could count on ribs. If nothing else is going to happen, I could count on the ribs. And, you know, John will come over and he'll say, hey, well, you changed your rub, no? It's my same dadgum rub. I didn't change it. And, you know, he'll come over and he'll tell you, like, well, that's good rib. Hey, change it. No. The same rub, buddy.
I know.
And so that's probably what I need to do to you, Chadwick, is maybe I need to send my rub, some more rub out there to you, and get you to do a little testing out that way, and maybe I need to use your rub out this way. And, you know, we kind of throw them a curve.
Well, I tell you, it's we got to do something, because they're ribs. I wish I could find my score. My score sheet. I think I lost it on purpose. I don't know.
What do you want to know? I got it right here. I don't have
it. I don't want to know nothing. I'm glad you got yours. Thanks, buddy.
Don't help me out, Eddie.
I don't have your scores, though.
Yeah. Where are those at? I tell you what. What did we do, Rhys? We had a 15-team shootout, is what we had. I mean, it was. Had some good teams from. We had Shane Draper. I don't know if you know him or not.
Yes.
At Kentucky.
Yes.
Shane Draper. He was there. He's supporting his new rig. He's got a dynamite trailer. We had K&K Cookers out of South Haven, Mississippi. We had several. We had one.
Smoking
two.
And turning, Dwayne.
We had some Clarksville teams. We had several teams, KCBS teams come in for this event. Spice is Right, Double D's. I mean, we had some good, solid teams. We didn't have no backyard set up the grill teams. We had all, you know, you had Tennessee River Forker, Scott Casey, he ain't no slouch at all. He's a good team. Big Bubba's, they're a good team. Grilling and Chilling, Goob, he's a good team. We had some good teams at this. I mean, it was a tight run. But our chicken, I don't even know. Our chicken, I had 45 minutes to do our chicken. I mean, it's killing. So I had to produce chicken in 45 minutes, done chicken. And we did, and it wasn't bad. It just wasn't my style. And our comp butts that we were going to turn in, they broke them up and bended them out and sold them. So we didn't have any pork to turn in much. So, I mean, it was a rough cook, but we still had fun, and it was a good cook. Usually I always get a call on my pork. Last year, I always walked on pork. I mean, if I didn't walk on anything else, pork was a call. And this year, I hadn't even got a whiff.
Well, when you come out in August, we're going to do some pork. I want to do a butt like I've been doing because I want some Eastern judging on that because, you know, I'm going to go to the Royal this year, and I kind of want to know, you know, how that works. You know, I've had all these Westerners, you know, judging my pork all year. It's done okay,
right.
But
right.
I need east of the Mississippi there to see you pork cooks and tell me where we're at.
Well, I'm supposed to roll down there in August.
Yes, sir.
So I'll be in the middle of all of you, and maybe I can help with that, give you some insight on what I do, a little different than what y'all do. I'm ready to eat some brisket myself. Some Texas brisket
are
is what
you?
I want. Yes, I am.
I'll fix you up.
That's what I want,
Another
Texas
man.
Brisket. And I'm excited about coming. I never get to go anywhere, you know, so I'm fired up and ready. And then, you know, it was also said that Daryl's coming down, so if he comes and brings his big video cameras, boy, it's going to be worldwide. It's going to be crazy.
Yep.
So, I mean, we'll just zoom in and just haul off the camera. We'll be in front of him going, hey, Mom. We'll be the boys going, hey, Mom. So it's going to be fun. We'll have a great time, no doubt. But ribs, you know, this year, it's just not, I don't know. Every time we've been cooking, there's something else been going on. Like I say, it's been snowing. Raining or storming, has it not, Keith? Well,
hey,
oh, yeah.
you don't worry about that in August here. Now, bring a suntan lotion because it's going to be hotter than hell. You know,
well,
you will need that around here. And let me rephrase this. You know, this is Breast Fest, is what you're going to be showing up for,
right?
And so, you know, like last year. This will be John's first year to cook it. They were cooking in Clayton last year. Last year on Friday night they did a chicken breast contest and they had a margarita contest.
Right.
And you know, I had a fourth place margarita last year, so you know, I'll fix you up. And you know, and then Saturday we'll have the rest of the fest there. But I guess over that weekend we'll have 5 categories, you know, margaritas, the chicken breast, and then, you know, Saturday will be the, you know, brisket, half chicken, and spare rib.
Right.
And so, you know, like I said, and I might throw a butt on her just to get a little bit of a Eastern,
might as well.
You know, find out kind of where I'm at and if I need to adjust a little bit, because, you know, that's going to be, you know, it ain't going to be long. I'll be going to the Royal after that, so.
Right.
I need some opinions from a little further east.
Well, I'll give you an opinion. I mean, I'll tell you. We cooked some fire butts today, matter of fact. I mean, a little different style than what we're used to, but, man, we served up some fire butts at that golf tournament. We served them barbecue. And it's 100 degrees outside. You know, they're going to have fun out in that sun after eating barbecue. And we did a twice-baked garlic cream, buttercream sauce, baked potato slice.
Woo!
And smoked it on the pit. And they were fire, weren't they, Webb?
Oh, man, that is good. You're going to pick yourself to death at them daggum potatoes sitting there just snacking on them.
Well, they're bad addicted, I know.
I wish I were here this weekend.
We use 10 pounds of butter in them potatoes.
Yep.
There you go.
I unwrapped the butter, so he ain't lying about that. There was every bit of that.
Well, I wish I were here this weekend. I'm going to do fajitas this weekend, so. Friday night, matter of fact, for about 80 people. So, man, I wish you guys were down here.
I just had a potato fajita, but I bet it ain't nowhere near as good as that stuff y'all cook.
So, I might bring a little bit of that down there on that Friday night, too. We might do that, Chadwick. We might have a little bit of beef fajitas. You know, we'll introduce you to Texas Ride or do some beef fajitas or some ribeyes or something like that. Yes, sir. That Coors Light
and
Girls.
Coors Light Girls. I want to be in the middle of that, too.
We'll get a clogging artery or two before you leave.
Well, that'll go along with these other clogged arteries, I guess.
So, yeah, they were there last year. The Coors Light Girls were there last year. So, one of the competition teams that we took with a lot, he works for the distributor there in Lubbock. And so he brings them out most of the time. And, you know, it's always a good deal. I mean, I've had my picture taken with them several times now, and it's never a dull moment. Enjoy it every time. Matter of fact, you can just come up there with me. We get a walk. You come up there and have your picture taken with some Coors Light Girls. How's that?
All right. I'm ready.
We're going to Texas baptize
you. We just got to review them pictures before we start posting them everywhere, though. Like those pictures they took on the Hangover, you know, they don't want to get them out. They don't want them posted too many places.
No. I mean, I got to be careful about that thing, too, you know. I can't be coming home either. My wife can see my Facebook page and stuff, so. So, you know, it's all good.
Mercy me.
So,
I'm telling you.
No, look, we're going to have a good time. And I look forward to meeting all you guys in person.
We can't get Webb to come with us.
Well, he might bring his ass. Come on. Hell, he might just enter his first IBC contest.
Get Blake to fly in from Florida.
There you go.
We all just come in and have a big old hoot.
I got a few extra cookers, so we can figure it out.
I'm telling you, that's what it's all about. We're going to have a good time. That's what barbecue's about.
Oh, yeah, I could be a hell
of a in a lot of parts of the country, you know, they got old cars and stuff sitting around in their front yards and stuff. In Texas, everybody's got a pit sitting around in their front yard or their backyard.
That's all right.
You hook on and you go.
There's only one or two people in McKenzie that has pits in their yard. I keep pits at the shop. I mean,
two of them.
We're
all
here. That's right. There might be one or two more, but that's about it around here.
Yeah. Well, my neighbors, they drive by. I'm the first house on the block. And of course, I live outside of the city limits. So I kind of live in a subdivision, farming slash, I mean, I have cotton growing right across the road from me.
Right.
And so everybody has to drive by my house to go to their house. And I have the cooker fired up, and I mean, I have people come in here all day long, want to know what I'm cooking, what I'm doing, where I've been. I had two customers call. I said, I do heating and air. And I had two customers call this week. You know, and the first thing we had to talk about was competition first before we even talked about the
air
conditioners.
Right.
He was like, hey, where were you this weekend? I've seen your cooker was gone, and so I guess you were at a competition. Oh, yes, sir.
Well, I'm telling you.
By the way, I need to come by and fix my air conditioner. So, you know, it works. I mean, people see it, and they see that, and, you know, it's a conversation piece, you know, to say the least.
Right,
and,
right.
So.
Well, I agree with you. A barbecue pit in the front yard or around, or if you're pulling one, is a conversation starter. It's universal all across the country. Somebody will come up to you and talk to you about what you got or what you're doing or where you're going or what you're cooking, regardless, every time.
Yes, sir.
And that's regardless. I really believe that.
No, I think you're exactly right. I mean, because, you know, that's the way we are. I mean, we'll pull into somewhere, and, I mean, you know, that's the first thing that you'll ask, you know, what you up doing, you know, I see she's got a cooker, you know, blah, blah, blah. And it is. It's an easy way in. It's like, you know, hey, you know, we're here in town. We're cooking this weekend such and such place. Well, we didn't even know about that. Well, come on out. And,
right.
I invite everybody I can out. I mean, and I'll feed anybody I can. I mean, you know, I'm going to have to deal with the health department a little bit here and there, you know. But when they come into my camp, they're friends. And if they want something to eat, as long as I've got it, they can sure eat it.
That's right. I agree with you. That's the same way we are. Today, while we were getting ready, we were bored. I had we cooked some, you call them armadillo eggs, I'm sure. I don't know. What do you call jalapenos wrapped? What do you call them?
Where I come from, a bacon-wrapped jalapeno is a jalapeno popper. If you call it an armadillo egg, most of these people around here, they associate an armadillo egg to, they will take a jalapeno or piece of the jalapeno, take a chicken breast, wrap the chicken breast around jalapeno, cream cheese, or something to that nature, and then wrap that into bacon.
Okay.
And grill
okay.
it. And so that's okay. kind of an armadillo egg. But
okay.
just a jalapeno popper is just what it is.
Right. Well, we did that today with Colby Jack cheese. We did some of them with blue cheese. And I like the blue cheese myself.
I love blue cheese.
Yes, blue cheese wrap, bacon wrap, blue cheese, jalapenos. And then we had some ham and some provolone. We wrapped some of them with that, too, and wrapped ham and bacon and provolone and blue cheese and just did it all. And, man, there wasn't any bad ones. I wish we had about 20 of them bad boys right now.
Do you guys over there and it may be too far east, and if it is, when you come over, I'm gonna enlighten your palate. Do y'all have green chili over there? Do you have like an Anaheim?
Oh
chili?
Man!
Woo.
Now you
well,
talking.
We might. That's a smaller pod, about half the size of a jalapeno, about the same length.
No, sir. That's a Serrano.
That is
green
a Serrano,
chili
yeah.
is. Yeah. A green chili is bigger than a jalapeno. It's a lighter green. A lot of places call them a Anaheim chili. And
okay.
Some of them are kind of mild, but they're long. That's what they make if y'all are familiar, like a chili relleno.
Yeah.
Okay. That's what they make chili relleno out of.
Okay.
Well, something that I credit. Now, you got to understand, I was not born in Texas.
Right.
I'm a New Mexican.
Okay.
You're a new one.
Yeah, that's it. I'm a New Mexican.
You ain't old one, you're a new one. Okay, gotcha.
Okay. And so where I grew up, green chili and red chili was king. Okay? Everything that we did, enchiladas, whatever, it all evolved around chili. And that was what, you know, some people would call it Anaheim. Of course, we call them different things. But when I come to Texas, everybody did the jalapeno popper. And a jalapeno
right.
popper is a great, great food. But what I do, and a lot of times is I'll take a green chili, which is a little bit bigger. I'll take it and I'll cut the end of it off of it, and I will stuff that with cheese and sausage or you know, you could do it with lunch meat or whatever. Wrap
right.
it in bacon and grill it. Whole nother ball game, buddy.
I bet.
Damn it, man. Yeah, those chilies, that is, now he's right, Chris. My wife is from New Mexico, and
I knew I liked you, Moody.
What's that?
I said, I knew I liked you.
Man, I'm telling you. You know, she moved out here and was talking about these green chilies, and she just wouldn't shut up about it until she found some, you know, out here and put them in she makes like a green chili chicken soup.
Right.
And damn it, man, they just got the, I don't know what it is about those hatch green chilies, but, man, he ain't bullshitting you. It's, that's some good stuff.
Sounds good.
You know, I love peppers. I love all types of chili peppers. I just enjoy them. And we don't have much of a variety here. We have a serrano. We have the large green poblano. And we have jalapenos,
yep.
And that's about the choice we have at our grocery stores.
I have fresh roasted green chili in my freezer right now. When you come out in August, I'm going to enlighten you to what a hatch green chili is all about. And that's just what he said. I mean, I'll have to say to Moody, amen, because there is nothing better than hatch green chili. That stuff is great on eggs. I mean, you can eat that 3 meals a day. I don't care if you put it on a hamburger, your breakfast, lunch, it is there, and it's a whole nother thing. If you ever watch Triple D, Triple D has he's learned that. He's gone into New Mexico, and he's learned all about the green chili thing. And, you know, look it up, and, I mean, it's just a whole nother creature. And you know, people that you know, it's kind of like Carl Smith, you know. I know John was talking about it. I listened to the archives the other day when they had their show. And, you know, John said, you know, 30 minutes, you know, into the next show, hey, you know, I'm tired of green chili. I've had my fill, you know. But Cole, his running partner, is like, man, I love that stuff. And I'm like, yes, amen. That is great stuff. You know, it's a whole different thing. And I'll have to do that. I'm going to fix you some green chili when you come. And if I have to ship it to you once a year, we can work that out.
Well, I tell you what, if it sounds like dynamite. You know, well, it's just right around the corner. We got to go to Florida first, and then I'm coming to Texas from Tennessee. I'm excited about that. I'm excited. We've been asked. I don't know what's going on, and I don't know any details yet. Maybe I can get filled in a little bit. But a friend of mine that's on my team, he sent me a message, said, you know, Counting Cars, have y'all heard of Counting Cars? The Count, you know, it's a show on History Channel out of Las Vegas, the guys that do all the custom rods, street rods and bikes and stuff like that. They do for American Restoration and Pawn Stars or whatever that show is. But
yeah,
they're supposed to be down in this area. And they said something about Hall County cooking them up some grub. So we might get
to cook it up for
them guys. We might get to cook it up for them guys. I don't know. We'll see what's going on. But we're going to follow up on that. Hopefully that might be something in the works, too. But we've got a comp first weekend in August. The Paris Henry County Barbecue, State Fair Barbecue, and we've competed in it 2 years. It's been running 2 years, and we've been actually able to win the GC the last 2 years of this competition, and we've had some top teams there, and I wish everybody the best, but we're going to go, and we're in it to win it. I'm going to start cooking ribs every day, I guess. I don't know what the deal is, but we're going to start cooking ribs every day.
Well, that's what I need to do. I need to send you some rubs in, and, you know, you and I need to talk about that maybe some this week, and see if maybe we can't figure something out on that end of it. So,
well, I don't know what the deal is on our ribs. Webb had some good ribs, and he knows our ribs. Our ribs ain't bad, but I'm just not getting the texture I want out of them.
I'm
finishing ribs, Chief.
I haven't seen yours this weekend, but I know they're normally pretty good.
But we're just not getting any calls. I don't know if it's because I'm using the Blues Hog barbecue sauce around here. It's so sweet, you know, and a lot of these aren't KCBS sanctioned. This was actually a TBA co-sanctioned, Tennessee Barbecue Association co-sanctioned a bit. But a lot of these judges, a lot of these people,
Mine were about 9 years ago.
Huh?
But I can't say much. Mine was 5 years, so, you know.
So what was it? Sixth place, seventh place?
2, 3, 4, 5. You were 6, I was 7.
Let's see, 6th place.
So, do y'all both cook a sweet rib?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I don't know if I've laid off my salt. Stacy Lawler, Swamp Donkey Barbecue, I'm in the chat room right now, too. He says, tell Lance to send me some while he's at it.
Tell him I'll fix him up. I don't have any more. I'm out, but I can make some hand batches. And like I said, the same stuff. It just don't have the anti-caking agent in it. And I'll make up a few batches here in the next week or two, and I'll get them out to a couple of you guys. And because, you know, I'm kind of curious, too. I mean, you know, my rub, you know, I did real well with it. And, I mean, it still places real well, but, you know, I'm kind of in that myth this year about ribs, too. I mean, you know, we're either kind of in the middle of the pack or we're nothing. And I don't understand it. I mean, this year, to be honest with you, my ribs this year are more consistent, you know, as far as the doneness than I was last year. I mean, you know, I had some issues last year with just kind of what you were talking about, Chris. You know, tenderness and stuff like that, you know. We'd have some of those wins and stuff like that, and I'd be off by about 30 minutes. And, you know, I started running the Guru on my offset. And that corrected that part. I mean, I can pretty much count, you know, as far as cook time this year, I can pretty much count that. And for the most part, that's pretty dead on. And, you know, flavor profile tastes the same. And, you know, like last weekend, I mean, I started changing that a little bit. I mean, and, you know, of course, it's just minor. I mean, it's not anything major. I mean, you're just adding a little bit more seasoning of this way, that way, just to see what it does. And to me, you know, it had another layer of complexity into it. But, you know, with the judges we had this weekend, it didn't do well. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, I'm kind of lost, too. I mean, and it's the same way with chicken this year. I mean, we either win chicken or we're there.
Right. Well, I just don't, personally, I don't know. I'm just in the toss-up right now. And the thing about these baby backs around here and all these small city festivals and town festivals, you know, you've got a lot of judges that are dignitaries in the city or, you know, different regular people, not as much judges. And they'll appreciate the baby back, you know. You know, we basically want to cook them till they fall off the bone. We're not worried about bite marks and tugging on the bone. And they think falling off the bone's how to roll. So that's, you know, we try to anticipate what we think they want. So, you know, we're trying to do the falling off the bone kind of deal. And
I mean, that's right, because, you know, like IBCA in Texas, you got to understand, they don't pick up a rib and eat it. They take a knife and they cut it off of that bone.
Really?
Yes, sir.
Huh.
They never physically pick up that piece of meat, even like a brisket. They don't physically pick that up, and that was something that I had a hard time with because, you know, I cook both. I cook Kansas City and I cook IBCA. And so, you know, I got into that factor to where, you know, I'm used to people picking up that piece of meat and eating it in Kansas City. Well, if you do that, I'm going to tell you this right now. If you do that in IBCA, because they're cutting it off with a piece of knife, with a knife, or they're hitting it with their fork, your beef is going to be too tough, even though it's tender. It's going to be too tough because they don't have that, you know. You really don't want that damn tug. And, I mean, you know, that's a hard thing because, you know, even when I'm slicing briskets and stuff, I like that tug. You know, I like just a little bit there to know that it's breaking loose. Same way the rib. If you're going to bite into a rib, I want it to come clean off that bone, but I want that bite mark to be there.
Right, right.
I'd be saying you don't do it. You better go past that.
Yeah.
And that's where I get my butt handed to me more times than other, because I'll cook it that other way. You know, so I'm taking briskets now over 200 degrees.
Are you really?
And it's working.
So you're trying to get really tender.
I may not be taking them far enough still, because I think about when I have to put a knife in it and slice it.
Right.
So there's that certain amount of integrity that brisket will hold. And, you know, really about 195-degree brisket will slice just, you know, for most briskets, that'll slice just about perfect. And I have kind of that perfect pull. Well, and I would say if you cook a brisket like that, you're not going to do as well. You start taking them over 200 degrees to where they're more in that pot roast range.
Right.
And they'll go better. Because they're using a damn fork to cut it. It's what I think. I think that they're taking a fork in that judging bill, and if they take that fork and they can lay it in there and cut a slice of that brisket off with that, they like it.
Huh.
It's the same thing with a rib. Just what you said.
Well,
I mean, they like that real tender rib.
I'd like to be a fly on the wall in there sometimes. You know, I am a KCBS judge, certified CBJ, and I'm not judged any contest yet. And it's always my timing is what's off. I'm rushing, and I'm not giving myself enough time because I'm doing so many things, to you know, at one time, and that's where my problem has laid. This year in my competitions, you know, instead of
cooking,
you know, that's what's killer. And
right, and you're exactly right, because I cook on time too. And if I'm screwed up, it's on my time, because I'm a time cooker. I run spreadsheets. I know what they're supposed to do under the right conditions. This is where I should be. And if that don't happen, I mean, I'm screwed up, because you know it. If the turn in times at this time, and I say okay, that means my ribs have to be on this time here. They have to be on 7 o'clock in the morning. I'm putting ribs on 7 o'clock in the morning, and I'm expecting them to be where they're at. I don't have much budget room. There may be 10 to 15 minutes there, but it's not much. I mean, so if you get in a contest to where, you know, you're 30 minutes off, you're 30 minutes off. I mean, there ain't nothing good about it. I mean.
Right.
I had one of those days. You know what?
Well, I'd rather have my rib ready and holding. I'd rather have them ready and holding in the like 10 minutes when it's turn-in time. That seems like never fails. I'm always lacking 10, 20, 30 minutes on my turn-in. But it's got to go.
Yeah. You cannot turn in. I mean, you don't want to poison anybody or anything like that, but if you don't turn in, you don't stand a chance. If you at least turn it in, you know, and you end up on the right table, you may stand a chance at it.
Right, right. That's right. And I'm going to tell you, every comp, I'm the last effort just to be turning in their box. I mean, down to 30 seconds. Usually, I'm my big buddy's running across, turning mine in very last. I mean, I'm like a chop king. I don't have any time left, but I'm running to get it in, you know, 20, 30 seconds. I haven't been DQ'd yet, but, man, I've been close.
Well, you know, because the thing here in Texas is like brisket. You know, that's our last turn-in. And, you know, in Texas, we have to have it a certain thickness. It has to be within a quarter of an inch to 3/8, or what they call a pencil width. Now, you can go in there, and if they turn you back, if you allot a little bit of time, you can go back and you can correct it. Now, if you're in there in the last seconds, then you're done. You're out.
Yeah,
you know, brisket, I try to allow myself a little bit of time, and it depends on how big of a contest it is, of how much that time I allow myself. You know, if we got 105 teams out there, and we're a quarter mile away from the turn-in, you know, I'm going to turn in a little, probably, a, you know, if turn-in's at 3 o'clock, I may turn in at 2:55, because that technically I've got 15 minutes to turn the ditch.
Right.
And, you know, my brother, he'll text me and say, hey, we've been turned back. And so I can go to work right now and I can get a couple more slices. The time he gets there, we throw him in the tray and we can go back. Now, I've never had to do that. I have never been there, but I have literally stood out and watched for them to see what happened. Because every contest, even like that contest was in this weekend, I seen 3 or 4 trays get turned back to have to go do that. And that scares me to death. If you don't get it turned in, you stand no chance at all, or you get DQ, you're out.
It's over.
You'll never know.
Over.
You may have had the best brisket in the world, and it didn't get judged. So, you know.
Is it more too thin or too thick that they turn in?
I don't know. I've never seen. Now, this is what I was going to say to you, is maybe this is where we need to go with you coming out here. Maybe you need to be a judge.
Mm.
And I can make that happen.
Well.
Just to see, because you would be completely unbiased in West Texas.
Yeah. Hell, I just don't know where knowing what I give them, you know. So
that's it. But, I mean, what I'm saying is it, I mean, you'd be completely, you'd have a Kansas City background and a TBA.
Yeah.
But on the other side of that is that not only would you get to, you know, maybe do, you know, brisket or something like that, but or like ribs and brisket or something like that, you would have a completely unbiased, but, you know, you may be able to answer some questions on that end of it that we can't answer.
Right.
Because as head judges, I can't judge.
Right.
If I'm in a competition.
Right.
Which is only right. But, you know, that's a hard side of it is that, you know, to stand down for a contest and to be a judge, man, I hadn't been able to do it.
I hear you.
You know, because if you're going to put me in a contest, I'd rather be out there cooking.
Yeah. I'm the same way.
So,
it's been tougher this year, the contest, going and having fun, the weather conditions. You know, I know we're supposed to cook in all kind of weather conditions. But when it's every time and you're really working your tail off to try to make it right, and you just, I mean, everything hits you, don't start to fall above your head. You know, so it makes it harder sometimes. And,
absolutely.
And now our trailer that we were using, it's gone, so we're back to pop-ups, which, you know, we're used to that. And that's how Keith Will Pirate Pork cooks, too, same basic setup that I do. And, you know, we just set it up and go with it, and we just make it happen.
Yep, I think it'll pick up most of the time, so.
Yeah, I know it. And
it's hard on us big boys, you know.
I gotta have just a little sleep. I just have to have a little sleep. You know, tell you what's even better than a little sleep is a hot shower.
Well, I don't normally get that, but, this year, being able to use the guru a little bit, I have gotten more sleep, you know, because, I can get at least a 2 to 3 hour burn out of my pit. You know, it's uninsulated. I mean, like I said, it's a propane tank. It leaks more smoke than God only knows, but
right.
With that guru on there, I'll get a 2 to 3, you know, maybe even a 4 hour sleep out of it, and it makes all the difference in the world. Now, maybe that's the problem this year. Maybe I'm not doing as well because I'm sleeping more than I was before, but...
Well, I'll tell you what we used to do. We used to fill that old burn box full, and we would shut the door, and we'd put some good old meat pieces in there, some big, thick slabs, fill her full, and we'd just all go to bed. We'd go to crash for 2-3 hours, whether it burned or burned out, because we've got a bed full of coals in that box, and all we have to do is throw some more heat in there, more meat pieces in there to get it back up, and it doesn't take any time. So we wasn't worried about consistent temperature.
Right.
And we wasn't, and I wasn't sticking a probe in anything. I was sticking my finger in it, feeling it. And, you know, it was old school.
Yes,
and,
that's right.
And I'm going to have to go back to that. I mean, I've got to go back to the way I started.
You're exactly right about that because same way. I mean, just what you said. I mean, I did so much of that, you know, sticking your finger in and running it, running the lows and the highs and the ups and the downs and, you know, and just what you said. I mean, you may have something there about that because I did the same thing. And, you know, this year, you know, like I said, I'm more consistent this year than I ever have been. And my cook, you know, as far as, you know,
they're worse than they've been. I know.
Yeah. I mean, it's a hell of a lot worse. Where I'll sit out there in a chair. What I did last year, I had my lawn chair. I propped my feet up next to my firebox, and I sat there in that chair all night long. And
right.
When that fire died, I could tell my feet weren't near as damn hot, and I'd know to put a piece of wood on it. A piece of wood on it, and off I'd go. And just what you said, I never probed a chicken last year at all.
No, I know.
Hell, I may have been serving them damn raw chicken for all I never
but
did.
They were good. They must have been moist and tender because they were eating them. And I'm telling you, I know. Well, I'm just going to work on that. I'm just going to work some on that. Our next comp won't be till August 2nd, unless we come up with something in July. I just doubt it very seriously. But,
well, there's a couple in July kind of in this area within a few hundred miles. And, you know, I'm kind of debating about that. But, yeah, I mean, if not, my next competition will be when you show up.
Right.
Which will be, I think, August 8th or 9th is when that's going to happen. So.
Well,
That's a dry spell there, buddy.
That is. You better start cooking a little bit. I know I'm going to start. I mean, I'm gonna order me a case of ribs and start cooking them every night.
Yeah.
And I tell
well,
you,
I'm
gonna take that Green Mountain Grill with me and start working on that and see how, you know, because that's gonna be a consistent temperature right there.
Absolutely.
And
well,
you know what I was telling you about how I'm gonna infuse a little more smoke in mine. So
yes, sir.
I've already been thinking about that, so
I'll mix you up some rub and I'll send old old swamp donkey some here in the next. I got another guy that wants some too, so I've got about 3 of you guys that's wanting some. And until I kind of get this other deal figured out with these other spots.
Oh, I know what you're saying. I understand. Well, it's good stuff, and you use that, and mine. You know, I just hadn't been in a position to get mine made. So hopefully sooner than later. And when we come, I guess I'm going to just pack a big old big container in my luggage and come with it like that.
Well, mine may show up in a Ziploc bag, but, you know,
That's right. That's what barbecue is all about. And but we'll make it happen. You know, we've been off the air for a little while, but we're just having a good talk. I know Black Moody, he's right there on our six. He needs to chime in, and so is Keith Webb. We've always had a good crew going here.
I'm here,
Moody's
man.
A hell of a supporter right there.
They're soaking. They need to be contributing. They're the ones getting all the calls on the ribs, not me and you. So we need to hear so much.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we're losers on that end of it.
I know.
Oh, man. I'll tell you what not to say. How about that?
I do it just like one of y'all was talking about a while ago. I'm doing 5-6 hours, and that's it. Seasoning rubs, 5-6 hours. That last hour, they don't really cook. That's all I'm doing. Simple.
Yeah.
Well,
I agree.
Using water. I don't
use water.
Yeah, I got that water cooker. And I can chime that water cooker into that sleep part y'all was talking about a while ago, too. That's 4 or 5 hours of sleep for sure.
Yeah, well, somebody made you an extra large basket on that cooker, too. Who was that? I don't know his name.
Yeah, I don't know who he was.
Yeah.
That sucker even helped that much more. That's another 30, 40 minutes of sleep.
There you go.
Well, I tell you what, this last competition was about 3:30 in the morning. Somebody was drinking lemonade and moonshine, and I don't
know. Oh, Lordy.
I don't know what else they were.
That was my chicken guy. I had a little lemonade, but he was drinking cupfuls. Old Brian, he was drinking cupfuls of that lemonade.
Well, it's nonstop. We pull out the moonshine, and we pull out.
There's
one Leesburg lemonade over there. No, this was a special blend lemonade.
And then they got one. Then they have a special one. It's called a Vegas bomb.
And oh, that thing will get you.
That we've got one team. They have a mixologist on their team, and she can just mix it up. And
oh, really?
She just called us over there. Yeah, she just called us over there. Says, "Hey, Chadwick, get your tail over here." And she'll just mix them all up. And I'll tell you what, that lemonade's got several people. It's never snuck up on me, but it's snuck up on several. And
yeah.
And especially on the guys.
Lemonade ain't got me yet. And Vegas mom got me once.
And the guy that sneaks up on, you know, one of my old friends that snuck up on, he said, "I'm drinking that lemonade for breakfast." You know, he was drinking her down, boy. And every time I see him, I'll sing him a little tune, "Country Time." You remember that "Country Time" lemonade?
Well, boys, I'm gonna get over here. I'm gonna go eat some supper, and
it's
I enjoyed
time,
it.
Well, I did too. I thank every one of you for calling in, guys. Y'all remember to call in the Lancey Show on Sunday night. It's West Texas Pitmasters. You know, there's always a great show every night of the week. You got that Sunday night. You got Jim Berg Monday night. You got Chad Moore Tuesday night. Me Wednesday night. Our newest show host, Big John. John Reeves, Smoking Eggs, X Nation, Thursday night. Daryl Mass Friday night. And it starts all back over. Kicks off the week with West Texas Pitmasters on Sunday night. So,
yes, sir.
I appreciate all of you calling in. Y'all all have a super rest of the week. And best of luck to you, Keith Webb, this weekend. And I'll talk soon to all of you. Have a good night, guys.
All right.
All right.
Appreciate
y'all calling in. All right. Good night. Man, had a great show tonight. We just had a lot of great guys, as always, and a few crew calling in. We just talking this, that, ribs, chicken, whatever it takes. We love to talk it right here on the Chris Chadwick Show. Let's talk smoke. Till next Wednesday night, let's smoke roll, and y'all have a good weekend, and look forward to talking to you again soon. Be sure to check us out in archives. You can always listen to us anytime at your convenience in archives and all the shows in archives. And just have a good weekend and God bless. Good night.